Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Pastor Valerie Burrell, grateful and thankful to God for another opportunity to come and share with you all a relevant kingdom teaching on this evening. I am grateful to God this evening that I have with me my husband, my wonderful husband, Elder Benny Burrell, who will be sharing in this teaching this evening about being a disciple. Welcome, honey. Say hello to the people.
Hello.
Amen. Amen. So, again, our topic this evening is about discipleship. And coming from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, it reads this way. And Jesus called the crowd to himself along with his disciples. He said to them, those who want to follow me must say no to the things they want. Pick up their crosses and follow me. Those who want to save their lives will lose them. But those who lose their lives for me and for the good news will save them. What good does it do for people to win the whole world yet lose their lives? Or what should a person give in exchange for life? So many people are making the claim that they are Christians and better yet disciples, but really don't understand the requirement. So this evening, we're going to utilize some keys of the kingdom, to empower you and help you to better understand what it means to be a disciple. Honey, what has God given you? What has he revealed to you concerning discipleship and what we as a people should be doing in order to really make the claim and for certain be a disciple of God?
I was led to 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's, speaks volumes to me. It says the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Which means, it talks about we're all ministers of reconciliation. Therefore, would be considered disciples for Jesus. When we do not follow what we're supposed to do, then that's what I believe is being said in Mark 8, 34 through 37, when it talks about when Jesus came. He says, then Jesus called the crowd to himself along with his disciple. He said, those who want to follow me must say no to the things they want. And those are the things that the flesh wants. The things that are wanted by the flesh. We have to say no to those things because most of the time they're not godly. And therefore, we must not do that. Again, just going back to 2 Corinthians, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. And then, behold, the new has come, which means the flesh is gone, and now we're born again, and we're supposed to do the things that Christ wants us to do.
That's good.
because it is important. Again, we hear so many people talk about the fact that they're Christians, and then they go further to say, I'm a disciple. And yes, we are ministers of reconciliation. The word declares that. But it is, we too often see individuals who are straddling the fence who call themselves disciples. They are in one circle of influence, portraying a holy life, a sanctified life, a life being led of God. And when they get around another group, they are being themselves. And when we look at Mark 8, 34 through 37, people know. They know. I believe that people who are in ministry know what God is requiring of them, but we really don't want to be accountable. You said in that scripture you read how when we are in Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So our relationship with Christ is cause for us to lay aside the things that we've been in the past so that we can do, as verse 35 says in Mark 8, those who want to save their lives will lose them, but those who lose their lives for me and for the good news will save them. Go back to 34 and it says, those who want to follow me must say no to the things they want, pick up their crosses and follow me. Now you might say, pick up my cross. Yeah, pick up your cross. I feel like picking up your cross means whatever your burden is, whatever your care is, whatever thing God has given you, that thing that's the thorn in your flesh, God says, despite what's going on with that, I need you to even pick that up and come on and go with me and let me lead you into the way of all truth. What are your thoughts concerning that, honey?
I looked at the 1 Corinthians, and it says, therefore be my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Mm-hmm. So if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord, then it won't be in vain. I remember, and of course I believe wisdom was the thing that got me there. I've had people, just because they think I have a good name or had a good name in the community, they would ask me if I would be a deacon in the church or do things like that. And if you're not living your, and I'm looking at them and I'm like, that's not going to work. That's not going to work at all, because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know that. God knows that. So, no, that's not going to work. So I can't do that. So that's where we, you know, where we have to remember we must follow what he asks us to do. The old thing or passed away, and then we come in with the new. That's doing the things that God asks us to do.
But what I hear with you with that, because you had shared that with me before, it's amazing how even in church, people are more concerned about numbers being seen, having the right people in place, versus accountability to God. And when you are a disciple, it means that I am going to be accountable to the things of God. And that entails picking up my cross and still following him. That entails dying daily. He said, for those who lose their lives for me and for the good news will save them. So he's saying, when you put yourself, your flesh, under subjection, when you die to your flesh, but you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in all truth, then that will give you the ability. That'll give you the ability to move in the things of God. It will give you the ability to exceed in the things of God. And it will allow you to prosper. You know, being a disciple of God is more than a name. It's more than a title. I find a lot of people who get carried away with being recognized with a title. And a title means nothing to me. I understand who I am in the fivefold, as I understand who you are, husband, in fivefold ministry. And so I don't want anybody to disrespect me, because there are some leaders that I've encountered who know who I am, but because they don't want to acknowledge the Christ in me, they will call me out of my name. And I pray for them. I pray for them. But that says to me that although you're a leader and although you have a title, you are not exemplifying the true measure of one of Christ's disciples. What do you have, honey?
I just, you know, I have to go to the Word every time. I can't see anything other than that. But as I was reading 2 Corinthians earlier, I think I was reading verse 17.
Which chapter?
2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the I think I read the 17th verse. But then you go back to the 11th verse, 2 Corinthians 5:11, and it says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God." So He knows what we're supposed to be doing. He guides us in what we're supposed to be doing, and that's where we need to be heading.
I like that scripture in that, because it's talking about the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. That's the full 11th verse. Now, that speaks volumes to me about picking up your cross and dying daily to really be a disciple of God. Knowing the fear of the Lord, how many people who say they are Christians really fear God? How many of them really do fear God? Because if the fear of the Lord exists in one's life, this is my opinion, some of the stuff they do and say, they would not be doing. Persuasion that we offer, too often we have hidden agendas when we want to persuade people to do. Oh, come to church. Oh, go with me to this place. Oh, do that. Calling ourselves a disciple of God, but having a hidden agenda as to why we want this person to come and follow us. See, the key is we're not to follow man, but as it states in Mark 8, we're to follow God. Verse 36 says, "What good is it for people to win the whole world yet lose their lives?" Verse 37, "Or what should a person give in exchange for life?" So many people are making the claim. So many people are making the claim that they're Christians. But are they really? Are they really? Are they under the assumption that they can do what they want to do, say what they want to say, act the way they want to act, and because they're lining up with man's definition of disciple, they think that's enough. But it doesn't add up to what God is requiring of us when we say we are disciples. Honey, I'm looking at this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21, and it's blessing me. It's blessing me. Let me go here. Verse 12 says, "We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearances and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And if he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for the sake died and was raised. Verse 16 says this, now, from now on, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Don't you think that's a good definition for disciple? An ambassador for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's powerful. That's powerful. When we look at wanting, declaring that we are the righteousness of God, but we are not being mindful of our actions. We are not letting the old things pass away and allowing all things to become new. We are not fearing God and his power and his might. But we're playing Russian roulette with the Holy Ghost. Come on, y'all. I'm going to try this. I'm going to shoot this time and hope I don't get caught. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. He's omnipresent, my brothers and sisters. He sees all. He knows all. We can't hide that from him. But he's imploring us. He said, look, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. I want you to take up your cross. Take up all your issues, because Jesus paid the price. His shed blood on Calvary's cross paid the price so that we can be reconciled back to Christ, so that we're able to bear the burdens. The word tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. So there's nothing that we can't face, babe. There's nothing that we can encounter at this very moment that God can't deliver us from, so that we can still pick up our cross and follow him and be the righteousness of God, to be his ambassadors for Christ, to be his disciples. Would you agree with me, babe?
Amen. Yes, I would agree with that.
What else? Amen. Amen. Yeah, I just sort of took that from him. I was rolling. Only because this is good to me. This is good to me. We're grateful for those who've joined us on the line tonight and those who are in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. As we're discussing this about being a disciple, do you have any questions or any comments? Have you experienced anything in your walk that would make you assured that, yes, I am a disciple, or make you question, am I really a disciple? If you have any questions or comments tonight, just press 1 and we will gladly bring you on the line. Amen. 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 Husband, what else do you have to share? You and your wisdom. You and your wisdom. I thank God. When we're a disciple, one thing we have to understand, too, is that we know our lane. Y'all, if you've been listening to us for a season or not, or in any of our teachings, we really do seek oneness in the body, because God wants unity in the body. Ephesians 4 tells us, started at, Ephesians 4, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host captives, and he gave gifts to men. See, when we are disciples, we understand the gifting and the calling that God has placed on our lives. We understand our role and our purpose in the kingdom. And we do our best, our level best, according to the word of God, according to the Holy Spirit that worketh within us, to fulfill what it is that God has called us to. That's a part of being a disciple for him. That's a part of being an ambassador for Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 17 says, now I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that in them, due to the hardness of the heart, they have become callous and have given themselves to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truths in Jesus. Here we go, here we go, hear it again. To put off old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25 says, therefore, having to put away any falsehood, stop being fake. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Stop being fake. Put on truth. Truth with those that you encounter. Why? Because you say you are a disciple. And if you say you are a disciple, God has some expectations that he wants to see you be what you say. I think we talked about this in our Bible study. We might have mentioned it this past week or a week ago about how it's better not to vow than to vow and not keep it. And we have to understand that when we make a promise to anybody, that's a vow. When we say to God, when we turned our lives over, when old man was passed away and all things became new in him, when we said, God, I'm turning around, I'm trusting you, I'm giving you my all, when we told him that, he expected us to keep our word. But you're still dipping and dabbing, and wondering why. The fullness of his glory, the fullness of his power, the manifestation of his promises has not come. Expectations. I am a disciple. I am a disciple. I understand the importance of my relationship with Christ. Put away the junk stuff that would hinder me in receiving what it is that God has for me. I understand the necessity to cut some people off from my life that only mean me harm. I understand that God has greater waiting for me, but he's also waiting for me to get myself in a place where I will obey his word. My husband shared with us concerning wisdom on yesterday. Baby, can you tell us again the acronyms? The acronym that God gave you for wisdom? Help me. Help me. I know wisdom, W, was willingness to learn the word of God. I was, help me, see, I didn't take notes. Y'all got to help me. Evangelist Brogdon, you're on the line. You take all the notes. What was wisdom? You got your notes, Evangelist? Amen. Wisdom, willingness to study the word of God, insight. God will give you insight, and he will give you, what was S, babe? I put him on the spot, y'all. He's trying to recall. S was significant. He'll reveal himself in a significant way. He'll speak to you in a significant manner. D, it will speak to discernment. All this is about wisdom. Thank you, Evangelist.
Thank you, Evangelist. Willful insight, significance, discern, obedience, manifestation.
Amen. Break that down to us, Evangelist. You heard it from Elder. What did that mean to you about wisdom and how it relates to being a disciple?
What I wrote down was study word to get significant insight. And when you get that, it leads to obedience. And when you are in obedience, then you will see the manifestation.
Amen, 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 amen. All right, Elder, break it to her.
Well, she covered it. She always takes good notes.
Amen.
And but yes, that's important that we remember that we have to willfully. And we were talking about. Putting away the old and bringing in the new. That's a willful act of being, and then, of course, being obedient to what the word says. So, but when we do study, taking the initiative, being willful in our actions, we will receive the insight, and that's what we were talking about yesterday, and that insight's going to be significant in our lives as we are able to discern what's going on, and the obedience is what we need to remember.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Evangelist. Elder said, thank you, Evangelist. I am a disciple. I am a disciple. There's power in our words. The word tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. The word also tells us that we have the ability to call those things that be not as though they were. So if you're in a place in your life, in your walk, in your journey, that you've been questioning whether, in fact, I am a disciple of God or I'm not certain where I am, we're here for you to pray with you, to teach you the word of God, to teach you in truth, in a safe, nurturing place to help you understand what it is that God wants for you and desires from you. We are each ministers of reconciliation, and because of the price that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross, his blood cleansed to reconcile us back to God so that we can indeed be his disciples, so that we can be the true ambassadors for Christ that he desires us to be in the earth. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your time with us this evening. We thank you for Elder Benny and his wisdom and the words that he gave your people to help them better understand what being a disciple is all about. God, we ask that you allow these seeds to be planted in good soil. Oh, God, that you would bring the increase in each one of their lives. God, we thank you for it now, and we count it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us this evening. We pray that you have been empowered. Do something every day to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you all, and good night.